This is Miguel Gulen. I'm here from around the corner at the TCA 2009 Bloggers Garage. And I'm here with Vicki Lofton from China Spring Independent School District, who is on the steering committee for TCEA, as well as Shirley Boyd, who's listed as being with Killeen ISD and also on the steering committee. Wow, how did I luck into this? I'm here with these two ladies. So, ladies, we were talking about all the budget cuts that have hit school districts, but if we get the stimulus package, we might be able to invest in a few key tools. What are the tools that you think you would be investing in? And Shirley, why don't we start with you, if that's okay. Sort of share with us what are some of the tools that you might want people to look at.
Well, again, thank you for asking. Yes, I am listed with Killeen ISD, but recently I have retired, so now I'm now the South Central Regional Manager for Tech for Learning. And, of course, I'll have to plug a few of our products because I do feel like they are going to make a difference for kids.
Can you pick one product in particular that makes a difference for kids?
Actually, I can pick several, but my favorite is Pixie. Pixie gives students an opportunity to write, use graphics, podcast. So students have a voice and they have an opportunity to make connections. So I think with products like this, it's important for us to be able to reach teachers and give them an idea of how they can change the way they do business in the classroom. And I think it's those connections that make it very, very important. A lot of the tools that are necessary to give students a voice are not really as costly as everybody thinks that they are. And my personal opinion, I think that if we would evaluate everything that we're doing in the school systems and in our classrooms, then we can pick and choose the best tools to sustain, because sustainability is very important. So if we have our vision, our direction, we can pick the tools and then find out how to sustain them as we go along with our vision.
So if, you mentioned earlier off the record that you and Vicki had a chance to sort of share ideas across districts. What are Vicki, what did Shirley invite you to come over to do?
Well, mainly was when they all the Killeen got their new laptops and they all went to the new Leopard on their Macs, and we are Mac campus, and so she invited us to come down there, invited me to come down there and learn about it because I hadn't been exposed to it, and it was a really good experience for me.
So what were some of the things that you shared with the new Macs, I guess, that they got?
Well, it was just the new operating system.
Leopard,
the new operating system. And so, because I hadn't been introduced to it at all, so that was my introduction to it. And we're using it quite a bit now, but not across the board, but getting used to it.
Yeah, I'm still working on Tiger myself. I haven't quite made the switch over to Leopard. I think my drive is formatted. All my apps are up to date with Tiger. I haven't made the switch over. Is there any particular, I guess, what are the top three reasons that y'all would?
Why we would switch?
Why we would switch, if at all. Are there any special applications that you have that you like more than others?
I think it has to do with the operating system itself. There are some bells and whistles with Leopard that address some specific communication and collaborative needs.
So how are you using it with kids? I mean, I know it's just the operating system, but what are like all Tech for Learning programs, do they work on Mac without any problems?
Tech for Learning tools work on Macs and Windows and Linux.
Wow, all three platforms.
Absolutely.
That's
and
great.
So you see, that's a plus. Plus you have multiple printing options, so for teachers that want to use trading cards to reach students with, you know, teaching hard to teach texts. And then multiple sharing options, sharing as slideshows, sharing as video, sharing as podcasts. So teachers can look at content and spending more time teaching the content and less time having to worry about learning the application because it has such an easy to use interface. And it's a very powerful tool and students love it. One of the things that I need to do when I'm working with kids or on campus is to carry a little microphone like this and listen to the expressions of the kids. It's really kind of neat to say, or to hear, oh, wow, this is really cool. And it's really kind of neat for them to be able to publish their work on a server and, in the case of Colleen, have the deployed parents be able to see their work and comment on it. So you also have a school to, you know, home to school connection that is very powerful. So, you know, I think probably one of the most important issues that we really need to be addressing is the 21st century classroom and being able to meet the needs of our kids, looking at the ESD standards, making sure that we address creativity, critical thinking, problem solving, and, of course, communication and collaboration. A lot of times I think that those skills maybe secondary. You know, we still have a mindset that we have to prepare our students for high school. We prepare our students for college instead of preparing our students for their future. And so this truly is a total mindset, and with changing our mindset in teaching and dealing with budget constraints, we have a lot of serious thinking to do. And so I think that provides an opportunity for us to really address what is important for us in the country, for our students, for their education.
So I guess the challenges that we run into, you know, Dan Pink, I think, hit a nail on the head last week at the TASA Midwinters Conference. He shared that all the principals, administrators are all focused on raising the test scores, you know, adequate yearly progress, everything like that. And we're just, you know, all the skills that he says that kids need to have, you know, what he sort of lumped as right brain kinds of, that creativity side, all of that is sort of secondary. It doesn't really play into the business of schools. And it always seems like education technology is always trying to push that agenda in schools, but it never quite seems to have the impact that we'd like in curriculum instruction. At least that's been my experience over the last few years. I was talking to a friend of mine, he was sharing how New Tech high schools, you know, how they do project-based learning and they're using technology. Those seem to be really good places. But have y'all's experiences been any different than mine on that?
No, I don't think so. I think we're just having so much concentration on tax that we can't use as much of the integration that we would like to. We're having to just do more tax prep, and it has to go. We're using technology to do it, but we're not integrating our core subjects and things into it like we should. It's more just going straight to tax prep.
Yeah, it sort of worries me because, you know, in 2011 there's a big push for online testing, and there was a legislative update that was shared on the TechSig list recently. I don't know if either of you saw it. Mark Gephardt shared it, and he was talking about how, or the legislative update was that, you know, the amount of money for the state technology allotment is the same amount of money that they need to implement online testing. So one of the possibilities is that the state technology allotment might get shifted over to online testing. which leaves us, the rest of us, really up the creek because, you know, state technology allotment in my district funds the entire technology department, certainly funds instructional technology. So would we all be out of jobs? What would happen in that scenario? I mean, do districts need to start? So those are the things that I think about. And then when we think about purchasing additional products, you know, the question that I deal with is, do I save a program or a series of products for license purposes, or do I save staff? So what would you say to that, Shirley?
I would say that is a very difficult question. You always need the staff. It's just like, you know, the technology is not going to replace the teachers. I think we have to have a happy medium there and a reality check. I know that last year when we were doing the assessment for online testing and looked at realistically what that would do to a district, in most of the schools what you found was that the labs in the schools would be taken over for online testing. And so your labs that were used for creativity, for project-based learning, would be taken up with online testing. So what happens with the mandated technology applications techs? So I think that we need to all be sitting around the round table, and we need to work more with curriculum and instruction and the content areas. You know, I was so fortunate a couple of weeks ago to spend some time in Belton talking with their TAG facilitator and their kindergarten director. And, you know, it was really exciting to be able to talk about their needs from a curriculum perspective and then address how the technology could actually provide novelty and choice for them. So truly they would be teaching their curriculum, but they would be approaching it from a 21st century perspective. So once again, it gets back to how are we doing business and what is it that we need to change, because change is very difficult. So we have to look at what our goals are, what our vision is, and perhaps also address the unfunded mandates.
Those unfunded mandates, I was sharing with you all that, you know, we're always facing budget cuts and reducing the, always trying to increase our efficiency. And one of the questions I have for you, Vicki, is do you all have profiles for the types of tools or software tools that are available in your school district organized by student, teacher, and administrator? I mean, do you decide, okay, students, you have access to this suite of tools, teachers, you have access to this, and along with those suites of tools, software tools that are available to different job responsibilities, I guess, do you have different technology hardware, or different hardware that goes with each? You know, administrators, do they get a high-end machine? Do students get a low-end machine that can access the web and still do all the Web 2.0 stuff, like podcasting and everything, and run the applications that you need, still do the online test nav, Pearson's product for doing the online testing? Do teachers get laptops? How do y'all handle that? Because that's something that we're talking about seriously in my district, and I'm kind of curious.
We're not at the laptop part right now. In fact, I don't even see that in the near future because our money is having to go into our infrastructure right now because that is kind of behind. So we're having to update that. So a lot of that's going in. We've just made one of our campuses that was a Mac campus, we've just converted it to PC. So we're having, and some of those machines were moved down to the elementary level. So we're, our teachers and our students, their equipment's about the same. You know, I don't think, and we all have the same software. There's not, you know, everybody has access to the same thing. Our administrators, everybody's equipment is about on the same level. There's not any difference, I don't think, between any of that.
So what are the standard tools for everybody in the district? I want to see if they match up to my district's standard tools.
When you say standard tools, are you talking about like Microsoft Office?
Exactly.
Okay.
What's the standard load on a hard drive?
We just switched over to Microsoft Office 2007 and 2008 for the Macs. And in fact, we're just in the middle of doing that. We just changed our email to using Entourage and Outlook. And that's mainly what's on there. I mean, there's not a whole lot. Now, in our labs, we have a few more things. We have, like, Heartbeeps and some online services like Education City and those things and keyboarding. We have keyboarding programs. But as far as the teachers, they don't have any extra tools or anything that they can't get. Their grade book and everything's online. All that is online.
So some of the, I guess, we've all seen the revised Bloom's taxonomy where we're expecting kids to create content and publish it online. And this is the question we have in our district, what are the tools that we have available to kids that allow them to create and collaborate with others, not just in their classroom, across the school, but also, with the global, their global peers, if that's the right term to use, but, you know, how do we, so, you know, what, a lot of us are using Moodle to facilitate some of that. I don't know if y'all are using that at all.
We've never used that.
It's a fantastic tool. We're using it mostly for online literature circles. We're using Audacity for podcasting. But, of course, Audacity is, it's not a tough training to do. It takes about 2 or 3 hours to get a teacher up to speed. But it's not that. There are other tools that are much easier to use, I guess. Maybe Tech for Learning's a podcasting tool. I think I've played around with that every once in a while. What is that tool called, Shirley?
There are several because you actually save as a podcast. I know you're going to get tired of me saying that, but...
We actually expect you to.
Oh, you do? Okay.
You're all right to say these things.
It's okay, yeah. Because I do have a passion for what I think is really going to make a difference for kids. With all of the Tech for Learning tools, you have an option to export or save them or share them, if you will, to podcasts. I think one of the most important things for us to talk about is the fact that we have so many different needs for students. And when we're talking about universal design, when we're talking about RTI, when we're talking about IEPs for students, we need to be able to look at software applications that will help teachers address the creativity, the communication, the collaboration for students of all levels. And I think that there are products out there that will make that happen. That is looking at creativity tools rather than drill and practice. Now, there is a place for drill and practice, but there is also an opportunity for students to be able to create content using very powerful tools and then publish them as a newsletter or publish them as a podcast. Then they themselves are teaching themselves as well as extending that learning to other people. You know, what better way to learn something than to teach it?
My concern is that when are they going to find time to get in and have the creativity when we are just barely covering those core things? When we're just... It's hard to get them in there just to get word processing and any kind of multimedia, any kind of internet research, because then teachers are wanting to stress tax prep and all that. And so you only have so much time left to teach them those fundamental things that they need to have when they go up to the next campus. And I'm like, when are you going to fit that in?
That's the reason project-based learning is so important, because you are teaching, and I know it sounds very difficult and idealistic, but...
But New Tech High Schools are doing it.
Absolutely.
Lots of money investment, but they are doing that kind of stuff. So it's, we've been talking about all of this for so long, and then you go to their schools. I don't know if either one of you have been there
to Maynard,
and you see what they're doing, and you just like, oh my gosh, how did I miss this? How come I'm not here? And it's just wonderful.
You have to eat the elephant one bite at a time.
That
it's all about vision, and I personally think that the highlight is put the passion back into learning. Put the passion back into using technology to teach and to teach 21st century skills and teach in a 21st century environment.
Well, I guess we'll have to let that be the final word from Shirley Boyd at Tech for Learning now. Yes, okay. Thank you all for your time this morning. Appreciate it. We don't want to let the podcast go too long, so thank you.